Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast, episode 51, The Afterglow. That's right. You are about to hear from conference chair and ACDA, that's American Choral Directors Association, Vice President Dr. Andre Thomas, as well as President Dr. Lynn Gackle. They agreed to sit down with me just days after the virtual, first ever, virtual national ACDA conference that happened this past Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I attended every concert. I've gone to all the sessions that I can possibly watch. I think I have something like 5 sessions left. Y'all, if you have not yet registered, you can still attend this conference. The materials are available to you. 37 performances, 42 interest sessions. It's amazing. And as the episode notes said, this conference set out to inspire, rejuvenate, and encourage the membership. And y'all, I'm so inspired. So rejuvenated and so encouraged. And I hope that this really awesome conversation with Dr. Thomas and Dr. Gackle really show you the inside of this amazing organization that we get to call our professional organization. Make sure you check out acda.org and register if you haven't already, because the material is totally worth it. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the Kinnison Choral Company. Jump over to emilybirch.org/sponsors, click on the Kinnison Choral Company logo, and you too can have lots of resources at your fingertips, because who doesn't want a group of people supporting you as you dive into learning and growing and serving those humans in front of you? But I don't want to give away too much. This is a fabulous episode. Without further ado, Dr. Lynn Gackle and Dr. Andre Thomas, The Afterglow. Today on the Music Ed Matters podcast, we are about to unpack the National ACDA Virtual Conference with President Dr. Lynn Gackle and Vice President Conference Chair Dr. Andre Thomas. Hello, my friends.
Hello.
Hello. Good to be with you.
I'm so very glad that you're here. It is an honor to be speaking to you just a matter of days after the conference, although it's not going to end. We can access it until December.
And ACDA National Office sent in our emails today a thing that people who didn't register can register, and they can have the experience from the very beginning for themselves, even later.
Perfect. I actually have the link to that in the episode notes, because I think that's amazing. There is so much good information.
The way ACDA does it, the person that is the conference chair is the vice president. So I had just done the previous national conference in 2019. And so, there is a handbook of sorts, I guess, but one chooses a theme. We have lots of volunteers that help us. And it's sort of a gamut of things that we cover from, it's primarily, I mean, not primarily, but one of the big things is performance. That's huge. And I know as a member, I've always loved to go to ACDA to hear, to watch what's going on, to hear new choirs, hear new music, and just to see the techniques. And then, of course, the interest sessions are for delving deeper into lots of different topics. Everything from, you know, that a conductor might want to know to a singer, scientifically, community, you name it. So the themes for my conference were very different, obviously, than for Dr. Thomas. And mine, it happened to be our 60th anniversary. So I thought that's a no-brainer. You know, that's going to be part of it. So legacy was one. And the other is, to me, at the essence of what we do, in that's we're part of a community. And so those were the two theories the two themes that I was working toward. However, Dr. Thomas got the opportunity to change a couple of times, because many things occurred in that 2-year period that really influenced, and I'll let him talk a little bit about that, but he took a different route a couple of times. I mean, what he did was nothing short of miraculous, because in essence, he was really going down a path for one conference that shifted right in the middle. And so I'll let him talk to you a little bit about that. So,
Andre. Well, welcome to the pandemic.
Right in the middle, right? That happened right after 1 year.
Right in the middle. We successfully made our trips to Dallas and had everything signed with the Dallas Symphony, visited the halls, visited all of the rooms. All the committee members were there. Michelle and Peter got to see the hotels where the honor choirs would have taken place and how much space there was, all those kinds of things that one has to think about. And then the pandemic hit, and then the decision we finally were brave enough to make in August that we were going to have, that this convention was going to be a virtual one. And then that started a whole new idea of planning. First contacting everyone, seeing if they're going to consent to stay on with us, that we were now virtual, and we were lucky almost everyone decided to stay with us.
So this includes like performing, and so that's a question. When did the performing ensembles and the presenters, when did they know they'd been selected?
They were notified that they were selected. I'm trying to remember exactly what the day was, the month was.
It's a lot to remember, I'm assuming.
I think it was June.
Yeah, they were all notified that they would be performing, and they all returned that they wanted to perform. And then we had to write them again and say, this is going to be different. We're going to be doing a virtual conference. You know, and then we had to determine what length of time, how long can people be engaged, and how much variety must appear to keep them engaged. And so then it meant that the performing time was going to be different. And so we had to notify the performing choirs that the audition performing choirs that your session will only be 15 minutes instead of 25 minutes. And we thought having 45 minutes people and something different every 15 minutes would keep the viewer more engaged to it. Mm-hmm. And that actually worked. We only lost one choir that decided they didn't want to participate in that kind of event, but all the others said, sure. And they did it. And there really was so much variety and creativity.
Yeah.
I watched every concert. Every single one.
I did too. It was amazing. Obviously, you know.
Absolutely amazing.
And, you know, it just gave me so much joy to think how creative our people are. Mm-hmm. Choral musicians are incredible in thinking and reinventing the bus. Mm-hmm. Maybe because we're always asked to reinvent the bus, but they really rose to the occasion. And the membership, I'll say this without a doubt, one of the things that is so important because we have a community. Mm-hmm. And how can we look at that community problem that when people come to the conference so they can see and talk to people, and students come so they can meet their future place to go study. I mean, it's we're very social beings, and without that, I thought people are going to go, no. So we put the chats in every place, and they made up for not being social.
The chat was so cool. During the concert, everyone engaged.
It was amazing. And to have the conductors on the chat.
And the composers.
It gave for the performers, an immediate response. Mm-hmm. And what I was so proud of, Emmy, in the chats, because I watch the chats very carefully because we want to know if somebody's on there doing something inappropriate or whatever. But I was amazed how positive they were. Mm-hmm. Sometimes at a conference, people are not so positive, when you hear the chatter in the hallway about this, that, and the other. But the chatter on the chat was incredible.
It was so uplifting.
Yeah, it was uplifting and just people supportive of one another. And I think that was the neat thing for me to read. And it was in the moment. It was almost like being there, truly. And maybe a little bit, even there was a good part of it because the composer was there and you could chat in real time. And so it was kind of a very different thing, but so engaging. I really think it was. I mean, it was fun.
That's and the lovely. Conductors, I mean, the conductors got to read it as it was happening.
As happened.
Which, you know, and really? They responded to things. How did you do this? I mean, I think I wrote to Sandy Babb, how did you get that sound 12 feet apart outside? She said, oops. we had recorded, you know, part of it, you know, and then,
she had to be then the second the number.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It was amazing to see all of the interactions. I found myself on Thursday just immersed in the conversations. I didn't move all day. No, and then I was so excited just to be, I didn't realize how empty my cup was. Yes. And how much I needed to fill it back up until it started getting filled. And sitting through that first conference, that first concert, I think I had my jaw on the ground. Portland, Ethan Sperry. Yes. The energy came out of the computer screen and smacked me in the face. And those ideas that, it was amazing. What was the...
I think you hit on something that I heard consistently, and that is, we needed this. I didn't know how much I needed this. I heard that from many different places, many different sources. And I think that's how I felt. I know I was engaged in the Pathable platform this summer through TCDA. That's exactly how I felt this summer, but it was even more so with ACDA, because I know what those conferences are like from the standpoint of community, and just to be there, nobody knew how much they really needed this. And I think that was
not at all. And for some people were hesitant because, you know, everybody's tired of Zooming, you know, as your students are tired of Zooming, you know, do I want to spend 3 days Zooming again, you know? But the funny thing is, once somebody got on, they were hooked.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Deep.
I wanted to be right there live on time so I wouldn't miss a single conversation. I think about, was it Marcus Garrett's session? It was Marcus and Brandon and all, that whole panel of composers. I think I took 5 or 6 pages of notes during that session, as Dr. Brown gave us the definition of gospel music and spirituals. But
that was a wonderful. There were so many wonderful, the variety of of the intercessions. I, you know, and you can't, how can I say, you can't really take credit. The credit is the ingenuity of the membership.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the credit is. And they embrace that theme like nobody else. I mean, in those intercessions, you could clearly see it in the performances. Mm-hmm. You could clearly see it, and you know, you think you learn, you know.
When and how did you pick the theme? When was the theme in your mind? Where did it come
necessity.
From?
The mother of adventure, of invention.
The necessity. You know, I looked, you know. Lynn had the legacy, you know, and I thought, how do you follow legacy? And the thought is, just keep living. It's going to come to you like really quickly here. And bam, it did, you know, because of what we were dealing with. We were dealing with Dallas, and we were dealing with the states, some of the states that were on the list of 10 where funds could not be spent was Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really get a choice of where our conferences are when we take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
really?
We don't get to go and say, okay, I want to pick Cincinnati. I want to pick this. We didn't get that choice.
That's all done at least years in advance.
Really?
And and we work with a corporation by the name of Helms Briscoe, and they that's all they do is conference planning. And so this has been really helpful to ACDA. However, contracts and things like that are signed well before, for instance, Andre stepped into his role, before I stepped into my role. And so those are done years out, and people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's based on, you know, what's going to be most advantageous for our membership from the standpoint of cost. And certainly the first thing is going to be what venues are there? Because we want to showcase our choirs in wonderful, beautiful venues. And of course, Dallas certainly has that. And then to find hotels hotel rates that are amenable to our people, and to have a place where people can get to easily. And mm-hmm. you know, there's all sorts of variables that are looked at in choosing a place like that. But that was already pre-chosen.
That was
for Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, Dr. Gekel's right. That you know, what incentives the cities give when they courting Helms Briscoe for us makes an extreme difference. And our people are used to a big major work and a symphonic work. And of course, we had to restructure all of that when we went virtual, because there was no big symphonic work. There was no Dallas Symphony to call on. We couldn't have the Dallas Symphony Chorus. We couldn't have Simon Halsey conducting Belshazzar's Feast, but we could have Simon Halsey doing an incredible intercession. Mm-hmm. That was really educational. You know, mm-hmm. we were all sitting there, you know, all of us old guys going, you know, I wish I had this be the 10th time before I had conducted the Brahms Requiem. I mean, it was just, you know, and that's the way I felt at everything. I mean, I looked at Felissa Barber, besides just going, yay, I'm so proud of you.
Such a good session,
such too. Such scholarly information, yes. you know, just to think, wow, these people really did their homework. They just didn't come and sort of, you know, bull their way through a session, you know.
Right.
They did their homework. And yes, very much so. Very much
over and over again. So was the big symphonic thing the hardest part of pivoting to virtual? What would be the hardest part looking back?
Well, that wasn't the hardest part, because that was just a flat no.
Oh, okay. That's just an easy decision.
That was gone, you know, because, you know, Dallas was shut down, you know, and how are we going to get, we had four or five colleges that were going together to do Belshazzar's Feast. That was gone, you know.
You mean you didn't toy with having a massive virtual choir of Belshazzar's Feast? That's a joke. I love when Eric Whitaker apologized for virtual choir, by the way.
That was good.
Highlight moment.
Yeah. He, you know, speaking of Eric and our other keynote speakers, that was the other thing that we don't have normally in our conferences,
right.
mm-hmm.
that people sorely needed and really appreciated.
Yes.
Indeed, each one of those statements, you know, we're going to reprint those, and I think are they already up on YouTube?
I think they're up on YouTube. There's a link for them.
I'll put them in the episode notes.
Each one so different and yet so necessary, mm-hmm. and just touched everybody. I mean, it was just, and it was amazing the theme that ran through all of mm-hmm. them. It was really a gift. Each one of them again.
Yeah. And that's something that you know, we were fine. It was our first virtual conference, you know. We really didn't know what we were doing. We were doing the very best we could. And you know, it's kind of the things that God takes care of fools and babies. Well, at this time,
and call directors.
And call directors. I mean, seriously. You know, and how that all worked out with the four of them, because they are four very different individuals. And we selected them because they were four different individuals that kind of represent our constituency. I knew when we got the results of the audition choirs, as we were thinking about balancing them up, we had been thinking about, you know, our public school teachers who say, you know, is ACDA a place for me, or will I hear any middle school choirs? Well
you did.
We answered it. Yeah, we answered it with some incredibly fine middle school choirs, which were inspirational mm-hmm. for them. And the children. Well, the children opened us up, you know.
Right.
That opening scene of the landscape of Wyoming, and then the children coming in there. And then at the end, I was telling Dr. Gekel, I guess I've been telling everybody, I was a mess. Everything about things happened just affected me in a really personal way, you know? And then when the children got to the last number, we'd seen them doing all their, we saw the beauty of Wyoming. And then we saw them in the church with their little mask on. You see this little 3-foot person standing up there with the mask almost covering the whole face singing, you know, it just, you know, all of those things. And they reminded us, and everybody did this to an extent in all the performances, they reminded us that, yes, we are in this condition. And yes, we are going to make music in this circumstance. It's going to happen one way or another. It was thrilling. Now we've set a precedent, and people are going, oh, wow. Is ACD going to allow for visuals for the 2023 convention? Are we going to have choirs emerging out of in the mountaintops? Yeah.
That's a question. What do you think is going to change moving forward now that you've had this vastly? Do you think, like, I mean, are sessions going to be live streamed? Can people come to conferences and not have to try? Like,
We don't know. But a lot of those ideas are being put forth as possibilities, because it's the membership. The membership sort of determines, you know, and they're saying, you know, we had a number of people who were able to come to the national convention that would never be able to come to the a live in-person convention. Primarily, we're talking about cost.
Right? I agree. You know,
travel, hotel, dining, food, everything. All of that. You know, and all of us, and, you know, wardrobes for people that have to dress a certain way for the ACDA convention. You know, people can be
calling out
in their...
the people who peacock. Are you calling out the peacocks?
Calling them out. they could attend this convention in their pajamas. At least on the bottom part. We've gotten good at that.
That's right.
If they went into one of those live sessions, whoops.
Don't stand up. Don't stand up. I have to say that, you know, we always, you know, when we invite our choirs to come, they come on stage, and I think this came out in our little post-conference meeting, how we invite people to come out of their environment and into our environment, be it whatever venue that is in whatever city. But the thing that was amazing about this is that we got the opportunity to go into their environment. We saw them interact in their space and in their time. And I think that was kind of neat, especially in a conference where the theme is diversity. Everyone has a different voice that's impacted by where they come from and just everything around them. And we got a little glimpse of that. That was very, very special. And it was unexpected, I suppose.
I think sort of the hidden people behind the scenes that we aren't talking about as it relates to the choirs are the audition committees. The audition committees this time gave us a kaleidoscope of tonal color.
For sure.
Yes. Yes.
We got to see that broad base of, you know, not just one little sound. We got to see that broad base of the tonal color, and we got to appreciate it and embrace it. And that was neat as it came to us from, you know, all over the United States.
Mm-hmm. Your committee is, they deserve so much gratitude and appreciation.
Well, they do.
For their time.
The amount of time that people give to ACDA is amazing.
It is.
You know, are volunteers. That's, everybody's a volunteer. We don't get paid for this. Now, the office staff does, you know, but they went well beyond. I remember writing a note just yesterday saying, you know, Brent and Scott, particularly the IT guys, and Mark Boyle, who came on and his committee.
In the middle.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, he came on to really help with the uploading and all of that. That's free. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we had to pay for all the services that happen, we couldn't do that.
No.
How did you pick Pathable?
Well, we looked at several platforms, and as we looked at the platforms, and of course, you know, as Dr. Gackle is saying, I attended TCDA and I saw the Pathable, you know, and there was somebody there we could talk to. Thomas Wren, and we could talk to, you know, we could get feedback on what the glitches were in Pathable. You know, it's almost kind of like we had an old friend, we had another, and also cost.
Okay.
Cost. And we knew that we prayed that we would have a large number of people joining us. So we had to build a network that could handle that.
Mm-hmm. Right. What was your final count of attendees, registered attendees?
3,563.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that
I
awesome?
Signed up on the first day. I was so excited to see what you were going to do. I was along for the ride. I'm like, let's see what happens.
We were excited to see too.
you were in the crew that on the 10th of January, I saw 463 people registered for the conference. And I'm going, oh my God.
We were just letting you know. We were voting for you.
I'm going, uh-oh. I am leading ACDA down the path of destruction. You know, and then after the 28th, the next morning, I talked to Tespa. He says, "Well, how was it? How was the outcome?" And I said, "We have 1,000. We have 1,000 people registered." He was going, "Oh, yay, dog, that's great. That's great." And I'm thinking, "Oh." And
oh,
I
no.
thought it was great until I thought, "Uh-oh." We're in trouble. What is going to happen now? And, you know, the membership just pulled, you know. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we have to talk about, too, is that we lost the honor choirs.
Mm, yeah. But you did make a mentorship, a national student leadership academy.
Which was brilliant. It really was. Peter Persino and Michelle Bendette put that together. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go in that for a little while, Anton Armstrong and I. And it was so neat to visit with those young people. And I think that the energy level on that was just great. Kelly Miller did a great job. And Whitaker came in. Eric came and talked to them. I mean, and many more people, too. But what a great idea. And those kids were truly engaged in that. Those are those kids that have done ACDA honor choir since they were six. And it was like, what do you mean I'm not going to be in an ACDA honor choir? So this was an offering for them. And that was totally a brainchild of theirs that just sort of went boom. And it was awesome.
We knew we had to do something. We had received a couple of letters from teachers who were saying, okay, what are you going to do? Because every year I have brought kids to the honor choir, you know, and is ACDA just going to ignore that, you know? And when Peter, I think it was Peter's original idea.
I think it was,
idea.
But the two of them together is pretty.
Yeah, thought, oh, okay. Then they came back to us and we said, sure, you know, do you think it'll work? And the honor choir clinicians all went in to be able to talk to them, you know? So if they were going to be in the, you know, children's group, because we decided we probably should do eighth grade on up, and that they still got to see Fernando, they still got to see Eugene. You know, I popped in at the time Eugene Rogers was in action, and he was dancing and singing some, I don't know what the tune was. It's one of those social justice tunes, and he's rocking and going. And you can see the kids on the set just rocking. It was like, okay.
It's working.
It's working. It's really working, you know. And so from the leadership standpoint, all we can express is gratitude because everybody stepped up to the plate and just simply decided.
I'm also very grateful, speaking on behalf of the membership. It's a very, like you said, we're all volunteers. We do this because we love ACDA and our choral arts. Can I ask a question comparing something between the two of you? Mm-hmm. The difference of how do you know the conference was successful? So Dr. Gackle, what did you do after your in-person conference versus Dr. Thomas, what did you do after this virtual conference? And what were your measurements of success and your what we're going to carry through to the next thing?
Sure. I think the one of the measurements for me was you know, the number of people that actually came. Certainly the comments that were made. I believe we actually did a little follow up after that. It was something that you could actually pick up at the conference and complete. So that was some sort of measurement there. But I think the overall thing was just, you know, there's a vibe. There's people, and of course we had the ability to be in person. You'd see people on the street and they were talking with each other and they were like, just, you could just tell they were enjoying being with each other and they were enjoying what was happening and the buzz. I remember after the Aeolians sang at that conference, everybody went nuts. I mean, that people will be talking about that. And if, you know, I've been a member of ACDA a long time, and I can remember back, you know, when the Toronto Children's Choir sang at a conference and just blew everybody away, and we're all weeping. And then there was Paul Solomonovich with the men's group from Loyola. I mean, those are little pinnacle moments, and there's so many more, and I won't even start to say those, but so many moments like that that stand out in your memory, and you just go, oh, yeah. And well, you feel that. And that Aeolian group was one of those moments, you know. I think that this conference also had that. And I'll let Dr. Thomas expound on this. But it was in the chat. You know, we find ways to connect with each other. We were created to be a community. We were not created to be alone. And I think the fact that we're choral musicians and, you know, that's the essence of what we do anyway. So we find ways. If somebody says, no, you can't do that, well, you go, okay, I'll try this
Watch
way.
Us do
All right,
it.
I'll try that way. And, you know, I think that that's where the resiliency, the creativity just comes into it. But those were our measures. Those aha moments, those take it away, you know, and I'll remember that forever. Whatever that was, it could have been in an interest session. It could have been in the performances, whatever. For me, it was the whole thing. And I'll never forget with my conference, and not just because he's on here, but I'll never forget the Alzheimer's stories was something that Dr. Thomas agreed to bring the whole Tallahassee Community Choir and do. And I sat there and I was like ugly crying because my mother has Alzheimer's. It was so moving to me. I tear up even now to think about it. But it was one of those moments that I will never forget because of what it spoke to my heart. And it gave me a place to grieve a little bit and a feeling through the music that others had gone where I was. It was really quite a moment. And those are the types of things that happen in every ACDA conference. So I know, Dr. Thomas, you have other measures and things to say too, but I think that there's a lot of commonality in what you're going to say with what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. You know, you got to remember, you know, when I'm thinking about Lynn's conference, you know, I was at that point vice president, of course, and you know, I think most people know Lynn is my friend. So I, you know, there's this sort of, you know, you have your fingers and your toes crossed about, okay, this has got to go, this has got to happen. And so I felt the relief of that, and then being able to go over to see the legacy choir.
Oh my.
Conducted by, you know, the people in our lifetime that are still here,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm, that, you know, are able to conduct those choirs. You know, Albert was what, 98?
Eight,
I think he's 100 now. That when he was getting up to conduct the choir, you know, and just sort of this whole generation of choral conductors that were sitting there, being a part of that, getting to see our legacy, because we soon forget where we've come from. We soon forget the people and the musicians who've given their life to this organization, as well as making beautiful music. And to have Del Warland, Charlene Archibek on the same stage with Don Newen and Rod Eichenberger, and you know, it was just like, and Albert McNeil, it was just like,
Dee Feely, the works.
You name it, you know.
Very
and so, it's one of those things where it goes beyond the music. It goes past it, and to see what that is all about. For me, in this conference, every Monday, Brent Baldwick would send me an email about registration, okay? So every Monday, I would brace myself for that email that would come with registration for this conference. And I remember that Monday when he sent the fact, because originally in our budget, we hoped to have our ideal budget is that we came in with 3,000 people. And that Monday when we got to 3,000, I, you know, there was a Pentecostal meeting happening in Jacksonville. I mean, it was like, you cannot believe, you know, 3,000. Oh my gosh, I'm just clapping away. They said, but it's not over yet. You know, and then we're going again, you know. And of course, you know, with my own network of people and then so many of, you know, former students, everybody's putting things on. You can still register. I mean, everybody's Facebook page, I think, has something on it to say, come on, register, share it, register. Share it. Before this man jumps off the 12th floor. And then when we reached 3,500, I was like, oh, you know. So the amount of participation was a measure, and we talked about it. And I think, I think watching it in action, mm-hmm. where to get, you know, when we're in person, you get feedback from the people that pass you to talk to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're in person, you think everybody in the world is talking to you at one time, you know? But this time, everybody there could talk to you at one time.
And you can read it.
and we could read it. And so that instant feedback, you know, we got.
I feel like there's a research study happening here. Like, yeah. There's got to be someone who digs into this instant feedback.
Well, you know how we are. I'm sure there'll be some sort of study that
someone's ideas are sparking, you know, at the moment.
Somebody, yeah, will come out of this. You know, I it is a study that probably at some point in time might need to be embraced mm-hmm. about this conference, but about our conferences in general. Mm-hmm. That what are happening. And yes, you know, we speak of those, like, you know, I remember Solomonovich coming out and doing those cowboy songs. And I can't believe he's going to sing cowboy songs.
I remember
songs.
That.
It was just like, whoa, you know, that happened. Went. But, you know, for everybody, it's always a different thing. The very first time, we're talking about the Aeolians now because they're fresh in our minds. But I remember the very first time that the Moses Hogan Chorale appeared at the National Convention. It was so changing.
The buzz. Yeah. I mean, people were just talking.
You know, the buzz. But, you know, but I remember all of the little things, you know, some things that maybe weren't the buzz, you know, that were the buzz for some people, you know. Mm-hmm. There are lots of little buzzes that happen, you know. And we never know how life treats us, you know.
Yes.
What we do and how it affects. I mean, I got a note from John Culpepper, who was the conductor of the Dallas Chamber Choir. I had no idea what Welcome to Dallas was going to be like virtually, okay? What is this going to be like, you know? And John Culpepper, I thought, I don't know this man, but I've heard his choir. I think it'll be great, you know, that we have a chamber choir, because we wanted to show the diversity of Dallas. Dallas is not just one thing. You know, and of course, we would have shown it even more if we'd had the Dallas Symphony. But then for him to post a picture of he and his two friends at TMEA, you know, because he said, I really wasn't a musician, but my friends were at TMEA, and he was in the TMEA choir I conducted that many years ago. You know, never knew. You just don't know. You have no idea. And that's why it's so important that while we're at these conferences, you know, and what we do is to remember that child, that student, that person, you know, mm-hmm. will be the next person. Will be, you know, you just never know. And the shy little kid sitting over there, if you see this picture of him, I mean, he doesn't look, you know, highly aggressive now, but you see this little Oriental kid who's sitting here going, is this the person, you know? And Clark Joseph and the gospel choir, Lord, they gave it to us raw. They said, all right, You want gospel music? We're going to give you real stuff. It is not going to be watered. It is going to be us.
It was so good.
And they went and Turtle Creek.
You know? Gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing for us is because of the thing and because of the collaboration concert, you know, of saying, okay, we're going to collaborate with Gala.
I loved it.
We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a collaboration concert. And we had lots of healing to do as it relates to that, but they did a beautiful job. It turned out perfectly, you know, and we even had discussions about the last number, and we thought, no, that last number has to be there because it has to say, this is who we are, you know. I will probably carry the theme of this conference even more so than the individual performances with me for a lifetime. And when people, Robert Sommer and Avril Sommer wrote me, and one of the things that was really clear, they said the theme was really present for us, you know? And so the intercessions were great, sometimes a little bit uncomfortable, you know, and what they were challenging, you know, but they were informative and great. And if we do nothing else, we must pause to help people think, reflect, and move on. Mm-hmm. And that's what this virtual conference was. It is our transition. Mm-hmm. It is simply our transition. And that's the success of it. I mean, I think it's the transition. You know, and then where are we going to go? We have just said who we are, how inclusive, what we are, you know, what is it about our music, our, you know, age differences, you know, because, you know, there are lots of people who have biases against old people, you know, can old people sing? Heck yes, old people can sing, you know. We need to be able to see all of that and then lead our next generation. You know? Emmy, it is your generation. I mean, we are serving on the end of. You're going to have a legacy choir where Lynn Gackle and Andre Thomas are going to roll on stage.
You better. I'll find you. I'll bring you up on that stage. Okay.
I mean, sooner than later, but.
It is an honor to follow the path that has been blazed before us. That's something I talk about a lot with my colleagues, is how thankful we are that this path has been blazed. And I think what you said is perfect. This is our transition. Let's see what we do with this.
I think it is a transition. Oddly, that we come out of a pandemic to do that. But sometimes it takes something that takes you down to your deepest core and shakes you that causes change to really be affected. There was a comment somebody made. It says COVID-19 made this conference memorable for all the wrong reasons, but this conference itself, ACDA, made it unforgettable for all the right reasons. I really liked that comment because I think all of us were in the same place this summer. Phone calls did we have? Dr. Thomas, I remember I'd go walking because that's the only time I could get out of the house. And we'd be talking on the phone, you know, and where are we going from this? You know, it's just like, oh, and we were all in the same place. And then this happened. And now we see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And we do see a transition. We do, you know, the R&R, I have to give a shout out to all the R&R people that helped as far as organizing, reviewing all the intercessions, reviewing even the choirs themselves. There's so many people. This steering committee that Dr. Thomas has, I know them intimately because 99% of them were also with me in Kansas City. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord for that. But there's also a whole bunch of people that also support all of this, in addition to the glue of the national office. So I just have to say, you know, we are in a transition mode and no telling what this is going to look like. I think our membership will tell us what they need, what they want from this organization. And you will be the trailblazer to take this into that next level.
I think we will be held accountable, you know. If you go out and you preach something, okay, then people are going to expect you to be accountable about it.
Right.
And we have shown our face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have shown who we are, both our past and our present, you know. And if we say this is us, which we've been trying to say forever, this is us, you know, we will have an obligation to lead that forward.
Indeed.
I feel like you definitely upheld the three pentacles that were on the website. Be inspired, be encouraged, be rejuvenated. I feel like those were so vivid throughout. I always let the guests on the podcast share one thing that matters. I think you guys have shared a plethora of things and continued the inspiration. But is there, for the listener listening, they're about to walk into their classroom, their rehearsal, their other job, for the musicians that are listening, what's the one thing you want them to really walk away hearing?
Well, I think for me, the thing that popped in my mind is the fact that we are not alone. We're all together. There's a commonality among us. We've celebrated diversity and we continue to do it. But when you get right down to it, and I think Anton Armstrong spoke so eloquently about this, the things that draw us together, it is the music that brings us together. What keeps us together is that common thread of who we are as human beings. And I think that you're right, Dr. Thomas, you know, we've shown our face. We have to move forward in this together. We've thought we have, but change is constant with us. You know, growth, I've read, is optional. Change is ever present. And I think that through this change, we have grown immensely and we'll continue to grow. And that's a very good thing. But we are together. You're not alone. And no matter where our area of work lies, whether that's with young children, church, college, whatever, community, we all have the same goals in mind. And that is to change lives through the power of music, the power of the words, and to provide a place of belonging. And that's kind of where I guess the older I get and the more I do this, those are the things that mean the most to me. And so that's what I'd like to leave.
I think, you know, Lynn said it basically, but I think it was present in Anton's speech too, as he talked about Helen Kent. And it's the matter of servanthood. We are servant leaders. Mm-hmm. It's what we are. Mm-hmm. And that we are not people striving for ego attention. We mm-hmm. are servant leaders, you know, and that, and we lead that servant leadership through music. Mm-hmm. It is through music that, you know, music is that tool that allows that, and that we should never, never forget that we have an obligation every time we step in front of an ensemble. You know, if it's you know, a little middle school here, I will never forget years ago when I first came to Florida, Mark Scott had invited me over to do this, what was supposed to be a festival that turned out to be about 20 kids at his middle school. And I walked in and I looked at those children and I thought, uh-oh, let me go out and get stuff out of my car. Let's see what we can do here. You know, that is what we have to say to our entire membership. That it is those lives of those people that we work are the most important.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. It's the people.
It is.
Thank you so much for sharing and for giving time to spend time together. I've been looking so forward to this. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And you are so welcome. And we are looking forward to what will happen with the Advocacy Committee.
Yes.
Thank you. I hope you feel so inspired and rejuvenated and encouraged. You are doing wonderful things, my friend. We all are servant leaders with such responsibility and such an honor to stand in front of these ensembles, whether, like Dr. Thomas said, it's 20 middle schoolers or a few first graders, or if it's the most elite ensemble. We are servant leaders that have so much to do to serve our people as we create beauty, as we create community, as we inspire change, as we get uncomfortable. That was one of my favorite parts of this conversation. Speaking of which, I'd love to know your favorite part of the conversation. Jump over and join the conversation, patreon.com/musicedmatters. But really, go attend the sessions, go listen to the choirs. Let me know what you're thinking. There's a quote that we didn't say in this episode, but it keeps coming back to me. You can choose to suffocate in your comfort zone or move outside of your comfort zone and get uncomfortable. Only when you get uncomfortable, only when you push yourself to dig deeper into the research, to listen to those amazing ensembles and find inspiration, to find the positive, will great and amazing things happen. But don't worry, like Dr. Gackle said, you're not in this by yourself. So in case no one has told you, I'm telling you right now, my friend, you matter. We all know that music matters, especially all of the music and interest sessions that just happened at the ACDA National Virtual Convention. And I'll see you next time on the Music Ed Matters podcast. Thanks for listening.